Good afternoon. We're thankful that you're back. We hope that you had a good lunch and you're ready to study for a minute or two as we think about God's Word. We're going to be looking at Psalm 119, 24. I may have misstated earlier. We're not looking at verse 4, but verse 24. But that's on me. But anyway, I appreciate, still a good verse. I appreciate Kevin reading that verse for us, reminding us of that great truth, and also for Zach, appreciate him making that possible. We're going to be looking at Psalm 119, verse 24. We've been looking at this verse for several weeks now, and the psalmist there said, "Your testimonies also are my delight." And then he went on to say, "And my counselors." God's Word has the ability to counsel us in every facet of life. There are times when you hear people talk about the all-sufficiency of Scripture. I really think that's the idea that we're trying to convey in this study. The Word of God has the ability to counsel us as we face the various complexities of life. Life is not always easy. It's not, as we might say, boxed and tied up in a very neat bow. But there are lots of things that we face in this life that cause us to reflect, to ask questions, to consider where we need to go. And so it's in light of that, I want to call your attention this afternoon to another facet of God's Word and the ability that it has to counsel us. In our study this afternoon, I want to talk about how the Word of God has the ability to counsel us when we are stressed. And the idea is when we face the stresses and strains of life, to whom do we turn? Is it possible that we can find counsel in God's Word? You remember in Matthew chapter 6 in what is typically referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus presented a number of truths that were to be embedded in the lives of those who would be his disciples. And so in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus asked a question that ought to evoke a response. The Lord asked, "Why do you worry?" Now, there are probably any number of reasons why those of us who belong to the family of God and those of us who are part of the human family, why we worry, why our lives are filled with stress, strain, and anxiety. What I want to do is call our attention to some passages of Scripture, and I would encourage you to follow along. I said when we began this series of studies that we would approach this somewhat like a Bible study so that we can read together, maybe even make some notations in the margin of our Bible to remind us, to help us in times of strain, in times of trouble. So I want to begin by calling your attention to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is one of the rich psalms. This one, of course, is attributed to King David. And we've talked a lot about David and some of the things that he faced in this life. And David, of course, the great king over the Israelite nation, David, a man after God's own heart. David, as you well know, had his troubles and trials in life. And there were times in his life when, yes, he too felt the stresses and strains of life. We might say that he was anxious or worried about the future. So note, if you would, Psalm 34, beginning in verse 1. David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Now note specifically beginning in verse 4. David said, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." Now, sometimes we associate fear and anxiety or worry together. We've already looked at Psalm 56, where David said in the long ago, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." David went on to say, "They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Now, listen to what David said. "Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Learning to trust in God come what may. That's easier said than done. When you have a weight of problems that are weighing heavily upon you, sometimes it's difficult to maintain your trust in God. David said, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Now drop down, look at verse 17, a familiar passage quoted by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 12. David said, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Now look at verse 18. "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, saves such as have a contrite spirit." Back up and look at verse 15. Verse 15 is actually the verse I wanted to call attention to, where David said, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." So again, to remind us that God is always attentive to our prayers, that God hears and responds accordingly. Now turn over with me, if you would, to Psalm 61. Look at Psalm 61. Two other psalms that we're going to look at, penned by David. In Psalm 61, beginning in verse 1, David said, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed." Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the circumstances that you're facing in life? David did. And David said, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." The idea is that we can find refuge or solace in the Lord. He said, "For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle or tent forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." And again, the idea of learning to trust God come what may. And then look at Psalm, drop down if you would, and look at Psalm 62. David said, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation." You know, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40, talked about those who wait on the Lord. That's not always easy to do, is it? You know, when we wait upon the Lord for a response. And so David said, "My soul silently waits for you. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense or strong tower. I shall not be greatly moved." And then drop down, look at verse 5. David said, "My soul waits silently for God alone." Again, the idea of waiting upon the Lord. Now, when we face trials and difficulties in life, that's not always easy. You remember, for example, Habakkuk. Habakkuk, one of God's great prophets in the long ago, couldn't understand why the Lord would allow the nation of Israel to go unchecked because of their wickedness. And God said, well, let me tell you what. There's a nation to the north of you, Babylon, the Chaldeans. And he said, they're going to come down and they're going to take care of business in terms of my people. They're going to be used as a rod of judgment. Well, that just raised another question in the mind of Habakkuk. Okay, God, how could you use a nation more wicked than your own people to judge your people? And so what Habakkuk realized was, I've got to maintain faith in God. The just shall live by faith. So what I've got to do is just step back and patiently wait on the Lord, because God in His providence is at work, isn't He? Daniel said many years ago, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, in Daniel 4, verse 32. That being the case, to learn to wait on the Lord. In verse 6, he said, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved or shaken. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is where? It's in God. Now, look at verse 8 again. Verse 8, another reminder. Trust in Him how often? David said, trust in Him at all times. Good times, bad times, times of success, times of failure, times of delight, times of despondency. We've got to maintain our trust in God. Let me remind you of a verse that I often think about and appeal to. After Job faced an incredible amount of adversity in his life, you remember Job had the presence of mind to say in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God, I may not understand everything going on in my life, and I might ask 100 times, why? But what I've got to do is trust in God, come what may. Solomon, the son of David, in Proverbs chapter 3 would say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. But the emphasis there, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not a portion of your heart, but with all of your heart. You put your trust in the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Let me share with you. I said I'd look at two other Psalms. Let me just call attention to one other Psalm, and then we're going to look at the New Testament for a minute. Turn over, if you would, to Psalm 120. In Psalm 120, the psalmist said, in my distress, I cried to the Lord. Now listen to what he said. And He heard me. What was it we read a minute ago from the pen of David? But the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and again reaffirmed by Peter, an inspired writer. Drop down, look at Psalm 121. The psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And then he asked this question, from whence comes my help? And I like verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, here's a point to just think about for a minute. If God had the ability or the power to create this universe, and He did, then surely He has the power to help me when I'm facing tough times in this life. When I'm facing anxiety and worry and stress and strain in this life, to know that the Almighty Creator can come to my aid, can bless my life. All right, let's look now at Matthew chapter 6. Look at Matthew, the 6th chapter. I mentioned a moment ago the question that Jesus asked in verse 28, why do you worry? And I'm sure that all of us could probably cite at least one or more things that we have worried about, or maybe that we are worried about. And there are so many different things that cause worry and stress in this life. But again, we're thinking about how God's Word counsels us. And in this setting, God's Word counsels us in times of stress. So look at verse 24. In verse 24, there's always the danger of having our affections divided. Now, the context, in the latter part of the chapter, he's talking about worry. And again, going back to the idea that we're going to trust God with all of our heart. It's not going to be just a little bit, but rather we're going to trust Him at all times. We're all in. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the idea, really, I think, to maybe just consider for a moment or two, we've got to be single-minded when it comes to our service to God and our trust in God. Now look at verse 25. Jesus is going to use some arguments from the lesser to the greater. So in verse 25, he said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then listen to this question. Are you not of more value than they? Well, what would the answer be to that? Much, much more valuable. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then listen to this, O you of little faith. I'm just going to throw this question out for your consideration. Would it be possible that worry, anxiety, is a reflection on our faith or lack of faith? Do you believe that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men? The answer would be yes. Do you believe that you're more valuable than the sparrows? Again, the answer would be yes. Do you believe that God is interested in you? The answer, yes. Has God invested in you? Again, the answer is yes. So, one of the reasons why we want to develop a strong faith is so that when we face circumstances that could potentially bring about worry and anxiety, that we can have a strong faith to help us navigate through those times. In verse 31, Jesus said, therefore, do not worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I want to just make very quickly two observations. Number one, if you haven't marked it in your Bible, I would encourage you to mark three verses here. Number one, verse 25, Jesus said, do not worry. Verse 28, again, Jesus said, verse 28, he asked the question, why do you worry? Verse 31, do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry. So to realize the Lord is counseling us not to worry, that we ought not be people whose lives are consumed with worry. But then, the second thing is, the Lord understands us inside out, doesn't He? Wasn't it the psalmist who said, He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust? You know, sometimes worry and anxiety are just a part of life. And try as we may, we still feel worried and anxious. So to learn to trust in the Lord, to go to His Word for counsel, for advice, and to realize that when it's all said and done, the Lord has our back, doesn't He? I mean, the Lord's going to stand by us in life. Worst possible scenario, we leave this world. Is the Lord going to be with us then? Didn't David say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me"? So God will stand by His people. And Jesus here, talking to disciples, those who would be His disciples, is saying, look, don't allow worry to consume you. Worry can be debilitating. There are people today that are battling a number of health issues, and all of those health issues are connected to worry and anxiety. Now again, you know, sometimes it's easier said, don't worry. It's easier to say that than to not worry. The old phrase, easier said than done. So if you do worry or if you do feel anxious in life, to realize, look, you're not alone. We all face troubles and trials and strains and sorrows in this life. But Jesus is encouraging us to trust in the Lord. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 10 very quickly. In Matthew chapter 10, rather than instructing His disciples to not worry, to not worry, to not worry, in this context, Jesus said, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. But look at verse 29. Jesus raises this question, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. The very hairs of your head are all numbered, which suggests to us that God is intimately associated with us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. The psalmist, you remember in Psalm 139, David said, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. God, You know me inside out. And so, Jesus asked, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from Your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So to remember that the Lord, He understands. And that's one of the reasons why He is identified as a sympathizing Savior. You remember the Hebrew writer said, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who has been tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. All right, one of the verse. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Look at Philippians, the fourth chapter. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing from prison. And note the parallel between what Paul said and what the Lord taught. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing. And you might want to underline that, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Paul here is simply saying, I don't want you to be anxious about anything in life. Now, Paul is writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, the source of this message is God. And God is telling us, whatever you face in this life, do not allow fear, anxiety, and worry to consume you. But now note, if you would, verse 7. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, you remember back in John chapter 16, verse 33, passage we noted this morning, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." He said, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good comfort. I have overcome the world." The source of all peace is in Christ, or Christ. He is identified as the Prince of Peace. I think that's important to remember. And so Paul said, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Imagine you're standing here, and there are enemies or foes that are threatening your life, and you have a sentinel guard of soldiers standing before you as a buffer. That's the picture right here. That God's peace is guarding our heart. Now, you know, Isaiah said in his prophetic book many years ago, Isaiah said that those whose minds are stayed on the Lord, they will have perfect peace. And the word perfect could be translated peace. And so what Isaiah is saying is that those whose hearts and minds are focused on the Lord, stayed on the Lord, he said they will have peace, peace. Now, don't we want peace in this life? Let me just share very quickly one other verse. I want to go back to Psalm. I want you to look at Psalm 2 just very quickly. I thought about this verse just a second ago. When you consider all the things that might cause you worry, and some of the byproducts from a negative vantage point of worry and anxiety. How many times have you been restless at night, couldn't sleep because you've been worried or anxious about something? You ever had that happen? You ever just had difficulty turning your mind off? You're lying in bed and you got 1,000 thoughts running through your mind. And you're asking the question, what about this? What about that? What if? What? And all these questions. And so we're robbed of sleep. But listen to what the psalmist said. In verse 3, the psalmist said, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my hand. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill." Again, the fact that God hears us. Now note, the psalmist said, "I lay down and slept and awoke, for the Lord sustained me." Now look at verse 6. "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around." So what was the secret to this mindset? Trusting in God. Really, that's what I want to encourage you to do in your life, is trust God. And when you face strain and stress and worry and anxiety, give it to God. I don't care what we handle in this life, God has the ability to shoulder every load that we face. As Peter said, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers." As James said, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And then as Peter said, "Casting all your care," A-L-L, "casting all your care on him." And the reason is because he cares for you. If you're here this afternoon and you're not a Christian, it is a rough, rough world. A lot of things that can go wrong in life. And there are a lot of people in our world today, they're trying to make it on their own. There are a lot of folks that their answer to anxiety and worry and stress and strain and trial, their answer is in a bottle or in some type of drug of choice. But what the Bible says is we've got to put our trust in God. and to realize that the Lord will provide for us that peace that passes all understanding. The Bible tells us that as God's people, we are special people. And we have His special blessings in this life. And so, we're not alone. And we can look to the Word of God for counsel, comfort, cheer, and serenity. If you're here this afternoon, you're not a Christian, what would you need to do? Well, number one, you need to believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then based upon your faith in the Lord, you need to obey the gospel. That is, you need to repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ, and then be buried with Christ in baptism. When you do that, you contact the blood of Christ. Furthermore, you're added to the body of Christ, and it's that body that the Lord has promised to save. Ephesians 5, verse 23. And then be faithful. Put your trust in God and go forward day by day. You know, back in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus talked about sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You know what he was really saying? You've got more on your plate today than you can say grace over. Rather than worrying about tomorrow, just take care of today. And again, it goes back to trusting God. We begin to learn to trust God when we obey the gospel. And then we're trying to be faithful. Now, you may be here this afternoon. Maybe you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you're facing some tough times in this life and you just want people to pray for you. Well, that's one of the great blessings of being a Christian. We can pray for one another. So whatever your need may be, won't you come as we stand and sing?